You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. It is nice to have your company, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall, in situ, ready for this week's action. Big week of golf as well, with the Italian Open on the European Tour, and it's the culmination of the FedEx Cup Series with the Tour Championship at Eastlake. Lots of cash up for grabs in that event this week. First of all, let's reflect on last week, though, Dave Tindall. A winning selection with Patrick Cantlay prevailing in the BMW Championship. Well done to you, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. We exchanged texts along the lines of how on earth has he won that? Because, well, it was just ridiculous. I watched the first few holes of the playoff, and then I resort to the app. So I think on the app I saw that he'd gone in the water, Cantlay, on the 17th, and then kind of gave it up as a bad job after that. And then I just refreshed just to confirm my misery, and he was still alive. He'd shared that hole in bogey. And then, I don't know, it was one of those ones you've got. So next time you have a bad beat, I think you've got to remember the ones that went your way, and that certainly went my way, definitely.
It was an unprecedented putting performance, wasn't it, from Patrick Cantlay to win that. And he needed some help from Bryson DeChambeau as well, who missed a couple of very makeable putts in the playoff to put Cantlay away. The course was a bit of a joke for a playoff event, wasn't it, really? I mean, every single player in the field ended up under par for the week. And to shoot 27 under for four rounds and not win the event is not what you'd expect from a playoff event, a culmination of a season of golf, in my opinion anyway. But it did provide us with an amazing playoff, so I suppose that's the counterbalance.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, I'm the same. It's this is sort of John Deere territory, isn't it? Or the 3M Open or something like that, to have scores along those lines. Does it identify the best players? I don't know. Possibly. It's not like you had a freaky leaderboard.
No, I just think I want to see the best players tested, and that's more key to me than whether or not the golf course can identify the best players. Maybe that's just me speaking personally and how I feel about the game. I just like a little bit of variety. Basically, it was, DeChambeau showed it throughout the entire week. It was hit driver as far as you can. And he drove the ball brilliantly. Take nothing away from him. And he's clearly altered the dynamics of the game to a certain extent. But there was no intricacy around the greens. And no, it was just bomb and gouge, wasn't it, to a certain extent?
Yeah, but if you're looking for variety, do you not think maybe there's a bit of method in the madness, in the fact that maybe they've given them a bit of an easy one this week, so they're a bit more fresher and can be tested more for the final event? Because
possibly.
Didn't Rahm win that event with 4 under last year?
Yeah, he did. I just wonder when you're talking about the staggered start, Dave, which we've got this week, and we'll come on to that in due course, do you think a course like last week's course might give players the opportunity to make giant leaps up the leaderboard, whereas it's going to be more difficult at Eastlake?
It could have done. In terms of, yeah, I prefer last week being a bit of a doddle compared to being like a US Open like it was the year before, I think. Because you don't want them just running on fumes for the supposedly the big finale. So yeah, I'm a bit less sharing your opinion about last week, I think.
What did you make to the needle between Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Cantlay? Because with the Ryder Cup just around the corner, there's going to be some serious animosity in that American camp, I think, in the lead up to the Ryder Cup and maybe in the event itself. Does that change your opinion thinking about the Ryder Cup in a couple of weeks' time?
Well, there's enough animosity before last week, wasn't there? So it's, I mean, in theory, the Americans with their team on home soil should be winning that Ryder Cup. The X factor is, as you've just said, the animosity. I mean, it's just, he doesn't help himself, does he, DeChambeau? He really doesn't. I mean, he refused to talk to any press afterwards.
Yeah, the written press, talked after his round of 60 to the TV media, because he gets a little bit of an easier ride from them. They don't ask him the difficult questions, whereas the written press tend to ask him the questions that he doesn't want to answer, basically. It's going to be fascinating. And did you read the piece written by Kevin Van Valkenburgh, who talked about being inside the ropes? That was a lovely piece on DeChambeau, and you feel a little bit of sympathy for him, but then there is a case that he has invited a lot of this on himself as well.
Yeah, it seems to be the kind of flow of it is, oh, do you know what? I feel a bit sorry for him. And then he does his best to evaporate any sort of, you know, of that sympathy that you have towards him. And then you think, oh, actually, you know, is he not just, I don't know. It's in that piece you just mentioned, it did say, didn't it, that Brooks Koepka had kind of agreed with Steve Stricker to kind of pull back a bit and not play this game anymore. But it's kind of the genie's out of the bottle, isn't it?
Because the crowd
have got hold of it. So Bryson loses a playoff when he knows he should have won that week, or, you know, he's very unlucky. And then someone just starts shouting Brooks in his ear.
Yeah.
And at the moment, he hasn't got the sort of mental toughness to just keep looking at the ground, has he? He sort of bites and then he... I don't know, but wouldn't it be brilliant if someone could sneak a camera into that dressing room in the US team, the Ryder Cup, because God knows what's going to be going on in there.
I must admit, I think the game is infinitely more fascinating with him involved, isn't it? The crowd were clearly energised, weren't they? I know that it got late into the evening, didn't it? So many beverages will have been down there, but the way they were screaming Patrick Cantlay's name and cheering when Bryson DeChambeau went in the water in the playoff as well, they were clearly energised. And I just think every time DeChambeau's, he's got that, he's moving the needle, isn't he? To use a cliche that we often attribute with Tiger Woods when he plays, it's definitely more fascinating with him involved in the tournament.
Yeah, I think fascinating is one of the words. I think you could throw in some other words that are less sort of generous than that, maybe. I don't know. Is it the best sort of fascinating?
I just think it makes it... it's more entertaining, isn't it, I think? Personally, I think it's more entertaining. Seeing him on a leaderboard, and everyone's got a different view, haven't they, whether or not you agree with... For instance, like Thomas Bjorn was saying, he loved watching DeChambeau just thrash the ball around, and then... Other leading personalities in the golfing game suggest that technology's gone too far, and you get that dichotomy when talking about DeChambeau, don't you, a little bit? And I think that's what makes it entertaining, I suppose.
Yeah, it's just back to the same idea, though. I wish you could just be entertaining and sort of flawed and smile about it, but it carries all this kind of baggage of... I don't know what sort of word it of being a bit of a nitwit.
That's nice.
With it, if only, you know, imagine how popular he could be with that style of play if he didn't sort of, you know, just go the wrong way with stuff.
Yeah.
It's a shame, isn't it? Because he's got this, you know, in a maverick, we want the sort of personality to go with it, and it's confusing because he hasn't got the personality of a maverick. He's got something very different. So, yeah, he leaves me a bit sort of, I don't know what to make of him. Ultimately, I kind of... Well, in terms of betting, I think ultimately I'm not a fan of his. And I think sometimes that stopped me backing him maybe last week, when in theory that course was made for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did.
I kind of looked at some of his recent form and just saw, well, it wasn't a top 10. He's not in great form.
Yeah.
He could easily have read his form in the build-up as, well, he's showing some good signs there.
And so he'd had a chance to win a fortnight before as well. I did a piece after we did the podcast. I spoke about last week not having the time to prepare. I did a piece for William Hill's Betting TV afterwards, and I fancied him last week as well. And I just thought the price at 28-1 was too big. And that price, I mean, he was a popular choice last week, wasn't he? That price was forced down. I think he almost went off second favourite last week. So he was well fancied before the off, basically because the reports on the ground were that it was going to be a bomber's paradise. And we know how much better he is off the tee than anyone else in the game, basically.
Yeah, because obviously you might just think, well, it's not very well him hitting it 370 yards if it's kind of virtually left of it, or, you know, a mile right. But you just look at the strokes gained off the tee numbers, and they're fantastic, aren't they, every week for him?
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, when it comes to the Ryder Cup, goodness knows what's going to happen. I mean, you remember he got nil point at the Le Golf National last time. So he was a bit of a disaster there. So, yeah, it'd be fascinating to see what goes on with him in the Ryder Cup. But I don't fancy him this week, I have to say. And I think there are more decent grounds for saying that than there were last week.
Yeah, definitely. It's a completely different test, isn't it? We'll come to that in due course. We'll talk about the Italian Open first, though, where Matthew Fitzpatrick heads the betting at 14-1. Tommy Fleetwood is 16-1. Bernd Wiesberger, 20s. Guido Migliozzi is 22-1. Henrik Stenson's back in form. He's 28-1. Rasmus Højgaard, a winner last week as well, 28-1 at Crans-sur-Sierre in the Omega European Masters. He's 28. Matt Wallace is 33s. Callum Hill, 33s. Thomas Dietrich, 33s, along with Gary Kiggo and Sean Crocker. And it's 35-1 and bigger the rest. It's good to have this event on the schedule because it's got a rich history on the European Tour, and it's attracted a decent field this week going up against the Tour Championship, and I'm sure some of those towards the head of the betting will still have aspirations of making this year's Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. And speaking of the Ryder Cup, the course that's being used for this Italian Open will be hosting the Ryder Cup in 2023. It's the Marco Simone Golf and Country Club. It's a par 71 measuring 7,268 yards and features three par fives. And what we know about this course, Dave, is that it's a Tom Fazio Jr. design. And whereas we're used to the Italian Open being incredibly low-scoring and played on tree-lined tracks, this looks more exposed than we are generally used to with Italian courses. And basically, we're a little bit blind as to what to expect this week. And obviously, a lot of work will have gone into the golf course over the past 5 years to make it Ryder Cup ready, in inverted commas.
Yeah, I'll be very, very interested to see how it plays, and I'll be making some notes ahead of that Ryder Cup. But in terms of betting on it this week, I don't want to invest too much before the off, because like you said, it's, yeah, not normally in these Italian Opens, you kind of guess what you're going to get. It's tree lined, and players who like other Italian courses will like, will always sort of do well on them. But and you can see that in their records. A lot of players have got good records in the Italian Open, even when it's moved around. But this one might be a little bit different, so we'll have to see. But I've only got one bet.
I've got a couple of selections, so I'll kick off here. I fancy Matthew Jordan at 66-1. We are guessing to a certain extent, but looking at the flyover, I think strokes gained off the tee might be a factor this week. And backing a player that's in form and is having a good time with the driver might be an angle in. And Jordan is certainly a fair price this week at 66s, in my opinion. His run of good form really started at the BMW International Open, where he finished in a tie for 17th. And since then, he's gone from strength to strength, really. He was 12th at the Irish Open, top 20 at the Scottish Open, and then had a slight lull. And he's definitely bounced back with a sixth place finish at the Hero Open, followed by a tied fourth at the European Masters last week. Very talented, 66-1, fair each way price in my opinion. So he's my headline selection, I suppose you'd call it, this week.
Yeah, I quite like Matthew Jordan. I had a little bit of a look at him. I'm going ever so slightly shorter, but in that same kind of bracket. I'm going to go for Minwoo Lee at 60-1.
Okay.
It's kind of, there's a lot of people might be looking at the Ryder Cup angle and trying to maybe pick someone who can come with a late run. Obviously, this has got nothing to do with Minwoo Lee as an Australian, but that might just ease the pressure on him a little bit. I did just slightly play the angle that if this is a little bit more open, that might suit him rather than classic tree line. We've just seen him win the Scottish Open. Obviously, that's a more exposed course. It's just a feeling that he's better than a lot of these, an awful lot of these at his best.
Mm.
And had he backed that Scottish Open win up with something really, really good afterwards, you know, we'd see him at the kind of Callum Hill sort of prices, 33-1. He's almost, excuse me, double the price that he might be expected to be. And I think you can forgive him what's gone on after the Scottish Open. He missed the cut in the British Open. Oh, Open Championship. Whoops. but did shoot a 69 in round two. There's nothing wrong there. Then he played the St. Jude in America. Just sort of, you know, hopped on a plane and went there. Started all right. Shot a 67, but didn't really make an impact. But I did like the way he came back to form last week at Crans-sur-Sierre. Shot 66, 67, 74, 67, spot the odd one out. So it's just a bad Saturday there. But, you know, I think there was a bit of rust to come off there because that was his second event in 6 or 7 weeks. Gives the ball a good whack off the tee. He's just got a lot of game. It's just the price, really. I think, I don't know. Is he still sort of not that well known somehow?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think that's the case. And this is a stronger field than some of the fields we're accustomed to, isn't it, on the European Tour in recent times anyway, Dave? Because you look at the list and Sam Horsfield's in there at 40-1 on the back of a missed cut. I'm not going with Sam Horsfield this week, but it's easy to make a case for someone like Horsfield who's been 16-1 in some of the weaker European Tour fields this season, and seeing that 40-1 on the back of miscut and thinking, wow, that's a good price on Horsfield this week.
Yeah, but Minwoo Lim, he's 23 years old. He's won twice on the European Tour. Did he win the US Amateur? Didn't he win the US Amateur, I think, as well? So this is an elite player in the making we're looking at here.
Yeah.
And we've seen these sort of young players down the years. They can easily have two win seasons. It's like they just sort of have no fear. So having won so recently in Scotland, I'm surprised he's drifted out. I mean, that was a good field in the Scottish Open.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the Americans came over. To see him down, goodness knows what, 25th, 30th in the betting, I'm surprised. So I'm going to play him at 60-1.
Very good. Minwoo Lee, your sole selection here. I'm going shorter in the betting for my second pick. Antoine Rosner is my second selection. I'm sure he caught the eye of many. He's 35-1 this week with that closing round of 62 at the European Masters. And while it's silly to put too much stock in just one round of golf, you have to note how well he struck the ball throughout the entire week in Switzerland. It's only his putting that let him down, and that's why he only finished in a tie for 13th. He's not quite managed to kick on as maybe one would have anticipated since his win in Qatar, but he's made his last 7 cuts on tour now, and he finished 10th on his only appearance in the Italian Open last year. And you look at both his wins on the European Tour, they've come off very, very similar runs of form, where he's just been catching the eye with cut after cut after cut made and not pulling up any trees, and then boom, he's gone and won. And that ball striking performance last week really caught my eye, so he's my second selection at 35-1. Antoine Rosner is my second pick there, so a couple for me and one for you, Dave. Any others you want to mention before we move on to the Tour Championship?
No, I'll just quickly correct myself and say Minwoo Lee won the US Junior Amateur. I don't said junior. I don't want people bashing on my door, furious at that mistake. So hopefully that's corrected it and staved off an assault on my house. What was the question?
The question was, any others you want to mention before we move on?
I wouldn't be at all surprised if one of Fitzpatrick or Fleetwood are contesting this deeply on the back nine on Sunday. Just that feeling that those who play in America all the time can come back to Europe and suddenly it's almost like it's a different level of form.
Yeah.
Completely. Even though you think, is it that much better on the PGA Tour? But time and time again, we just see players nip back, and suddenly they, whether it's just easier, whether they just feel more confident and more at home and do well. So 14-1 Fitzpatrick, 16-1 Fleetwood, certainly possible.
Yeah, I liked Guido Migliozzi, but he's been well cornered in the market at 22-1. I think he'll go well. And you're just waiting for that win for Sean Crocker, aren't you, as well, with his it's elite ball striking, really, Dave. And he's 33-1. It will happen for him. It's just a case of when, really. And he maintains his very, very consistent form. So those were the only two. But again, I thought they were both shorter in the market than I would have liked at 22s and 33s.
Could you see Thomas Peters stepping up?
Yeah, 40-1 I thought was it. I thought him and Horsfield further down the betting, both at 40-1, were big prices.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, for incredibly talented players.
Yeah, if you're sort of rating the field on talent, yeah, those two, oh, they're quite big.
Yeah, so those are another couple worthy of mention there as well. Let's talk about the Tour Championship then, Dave. The FedEx Cup coming to its conclusion. With the Tour Championship at Eastlake, which is once again the host course, and the much maligned handicap system is back in operation. Patrick Cantlay, after his win last week, is number one in the race for the FedEx Cup and starts at 10 under par this week, while Tony Finau starts at 8 under par. The staggered start goes all the way down to Daniel Berger, Erik van Rooyen, Sergio Garcia, Billy Horschel, and then Patrick Reed, whose participation is in doubt following his struggle with bilateral pneumonia. I've not heard any word about whether Reed is going to participate this week. And you've got a couple of choices, really. Do you play the Tour Championship market in the tournament winner without the FedEx Strokes, which is basically just the lowest 72-hole total, or do you look at the tournament winner including the FedEx Cup Strokes, which obviously Cantlay has the advantage there, starting two shots clear of Tony Finau, and that staggered start goes all the way down from 10 under par all the way down to even par, as those five guys I've just mentioned. I'll quickly spin you through it. 7 under Bryson DeChambeau, 6 under John Rahm, 5 under Cameron Smith, 4 under Thomas, English, Anser, Spieth and Burns, 3 under Morikawa, Im, Hovland, Oosthuizen and Dustin Johnson, 2 under par McIlroy, Schauffele, Kokrak, Nahr and Koepka, and 1 under Connors, Matsuyama, Sink, Neiman, Scheffler, and those are even par this week. Berger, Van Rooyen, Garcia, Horschel and Reed. Underwhelmed by the Tour Championship, without question, personally speaking. You've got to know which market you want to bet on, and it does get golf Twitter riled up each and every year, doesn't it? Is there a solution here? Do we have one? Do you hate this system as well? Those are all the questions you've got to answer, Dave.
Okay.
In any order, in any particular order you want.
Well, I will say, I was looking back to last year, and the three leaders who started minus 10, minus 8, minus 7 were actually also 1, 2, 3 in the world ranking. So it's like, oh, great. The guys who completely don't need a leg up are getting one.
Yeah.
I mean, fair play to them. They'd play themselves into that position in the FedEx Cup race. But I think this year it's a little bit more interesting because the lead is Patrick Cantlay. Rubbish East Lake form, 28th, 21st, 20th. You know, that's out of 30. So he's in the bottom third in all three attempts. Tony Finau, a bit more mixed, 14th, 7th, 15th, 7th, but scope to be passed, I think. These are Bermuda greens. He's never as good on them. DeChambeau, 25th, 7th, 19th. So, again, he's had two kind of duff performances here. Even Rahm's isn't amazing, 6th, 13th, 11th, 7th. Last year, I thought it was just, I can't remember if we put him up, maybe it was too short, but I thought, clearly, last year, one of DJ Rahm and Justin Thomas were going to win almost certainly, and they did. DJ got it won. I think he was 2-1, 7-4, something like
that. Yeah, he was, yeah.
But I think this year, I think there is scope to play this market, and I think it's if you just want to have a simple, put a win bet on someone who's going to win the whole thing, I think you just put it on John Rahm at 4-1.
Right, okay, that's interesting. And the betting is more open. I'll spin you through the tournament winner, including the FedEx Strokes. Both my bets are going to come in the other market, the lowest 72-hole total, the tournament winner without the FedEx Strokes personally. But I'll spin you through the bet that or the market that Dave was referencing a few moments ago to win the FedEx Cup, basically. John Rahm and Patrick Cantlay both 4-1. Bryson DeChambeau is 5-1. Tony Finau 15-2. 18-1, Justin Thomas. Cameron Smith and Dustin Johnson. Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth, all 25s, and it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. And Eastlake is a Donald Ross design, plays to a par of 70 and measures just under 7,400 yards. So there's plenty of length there, but it's a completely different test to last week because finding the fairways is actually pretty important here historically, because the rough is Bermuda grass and there's potential for the ball to come out dead or the chance of a flyer. And it's that inconsistency from the rough that that players don't like, really, Dave.
Yeah, I think tee to green is a big thing this week, and that's why, even though he's the leader at minus 10, I think Cantlay, you can sort of knock that off. I mean, he's done it by smoke and mirrors last week. He's actually recorded a negative, but he's gained 14.577 strokes with the putter last week. I'm pretty sure I read that's a record.
Yeah,
which is absolutely ludicrous figure. But he's gained like one shot, 1.2 tee to green. So obviously last week he had his preferred bent grass greens. He's not going to be as good on Bermuda. His course form's pretty terrible, 28th, 21st, 20th. So then you're down to, so if you kind of rule him out, and might be a bit presumptuous, but then Rahm's within two of the next best, Tony Finau. I just think Rahm, it's been his year overall. I think, you know, since he got that US Open in the bag, I think he's just the kind of the man, and he dominates the betting markets. When did he last finish outside the top 10? Well, it was the Byron Nelson in May. Technically, you could say Memorial, but he would surely have won that with a six-shot win. So his form, eighth, should have won first, seventh, third, ninth. I think he's done enough here in the past. I mean, look at last year, he was sixth. Shot a round of 65 to start with, two closing 66s on the weekend. Just had a funny Friday when he shot 74. So I think for him to be getting shots on 26 other players.
Yeah.
Good luck, guys, because, that's going to be tough. And I just think he can pick off the three in front of him, Cantlay, Finau and DeChambeau. So I thought 4-1's fair, to be honest. It might not sound very exciting, but I just think he's the man at the minute and he can get this done.
Okay, 4-1 in the tournament winner, including the FedEx Cup Strokes, is the bet for Dave here, John Rahm. I looked at the other market and I liked a couple of players further down the list, 200 and 300 respectively, and I'll start with Rory McIlroy at 12-1 each way. I thought that was a more than fair price on McIlroy this week. He absolutely loves this course, having won the Tour Championship twice in 2016 and 2019. And maybe there's a chance from eight back he can make a run, but it'll obviously be very, very difficult. And he'll have to be aggressive, which could clearly go either way, but his driving is just a massive advantage here. And that club is back on song, and he'll be freewheeling early, I'd imagine. And having started really quickly last week at the BMW, I can see him getting off to a quick start here. And given you've got five places in that each way betting for the tournament winner without the FedEx Strokes, I thought 12-1 was okay on McIlroy this week.
Yeah, clearly, as you say, he loves this place. He did say he was really tired last week, didn't he? And then still managed to be third. I wonder if giving himself a kind of an out sometimes helps him. He's got an excuse.
Yeah, possibly so.
Therefore, he can just kind of, not get in his own way.
It's been a weird season for him, hasn't it? It'd be nice for him to sign off with a good performance here, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the other market again for my second bet, because yeah. I think the words weird season apply to Justin Thomas as well.
Oh, without question.
He's had that one kind of, thunderclap moment at Sawgrass when he's come with a flying finish to win the Players' Championship. But I think he might just be timing something right at the end again, because he played really well a couple of weeks ago, not too bad last week. But like with McIlroy, it's the course form, isn't it? It's not as good as McIlroy's, but it's pretty very good. 6th, 2nd, 7th, 9th, and 3rd in his 5 starts. So whereas some of these above him have not even managed, you know, a top 15 or a top 10, or, you know, none of them got a top 5 in the top 4 players. He's a proven performer at this course, loves the place. He basically likes fair courses, Justin Thomas. He's always, if you read through his quotes, anything that's right in front of you and is fair, he likes. Mm. He likes courses where if you play well, you get rewarded. If you don't, you get punished. So he's technically 6 back. If you're knocking off Cantlay, and then you could say, well, he's 4 back. And then if you kind of strike a line through Finau a little bit, who again isn't as good on Bermuda, then he's 3 back from DeChambeau. I think the scope for Thomas to do something big this week, and I think each way 18-1. I still like Rahm to win it, but I think Thomas could get involved in the places at least at 18-1. You never know. If Rahm's slightly off it, I think Thomas would be the one I'd want carrying my money, because I think it's a place that I do think course form counts for quite a lot.
Yeah.
And he's just capable, isn't he? He's capable of just sort of dawdling and then getting red hot. And it might just be he comes with some ludicrous charge on Sunday and wins it all. So I thought Thomas was worth a go if you want to look further down the market. I wouldn't go any further than 6 back, I don't think.
No, I agree. Limits. Yeah, and that's kind of why I've looked in the other market, Dave, because the two players that I like are maybe just too far back to really get involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one I like in the Tour Championship market, lowest 72-hole total without the FedEx Cup strokes, is Sungjae Im.
Me too. That was my bet as well.
Oh, right. Good. Yeah. He's really catching the eye with his performances in the playoffs. He's moved up the FedEx Cup standings with a 3rd place finish last week, and he's shown some form at Eastlake in the past as well. He had a Friday 64 here last year, and when he was abysmal from tee to green 2 years ago, he putted the lights out. So he's shown that he can do it both ways, and that club was really good last week, and his ball striking was on song too. And he starts the week at 3 under par, and I thought he might be able to make his way up the board, and I thought 30s without the starting strokes was a good each way bet this week.
Yeah, you said it all there. Total agreement there. I do think tee to green is big here, and within that, off the tee. So if you look at his last 3 performances, strokes gained off the tee, 11th, 10th, and 9th. So he's been hitting it really well off the tee, and then tee to green numbers last 3 tournaments, 5th, 7th, and 6th. So he's striking it really, really well, and it just might be that he's timed it again to perfection. Do you remember last year? Was there an easy way of following it in the kind of who's doing best?
Yeah, I think someone was publishing the lowest total. I'm sure that was widely available on Twitter anyway.
Yeah, and so that's from a sort of bettor's point of view, or what about from a playing point of view? Because he'll surely have no idea.
Yeah,
what he's doing. It's not like he'll go for some par 5 in 2 because he needs to shoot the lowest score when, say, Rahm's 10 clear of him. Maybe it just gives the idea that you can't overthink it, therefore just go for players who are playing well.
Yeah,
they won't get hampered by the mental side of it. Just go for the guys who have got good stats in that other market.
Yeah, I think definitely so. I agree with you. I think looking too far back for players at 3 under, 2 under, 1 under, even par to expect to make that ground up on someone like John Rahm at this venue is just highly unlikely, isn't it? Really.
Imagine if you're like Billy Horschel or Eric Van Rooyen, and he's starting 10 back.
The only thing you'd say about that is every place matters from a cash perspective, doesn't it, this week? You know what I'm saying there, in terms of, like, I don't think you'll become too demoralised, because, you know, if you move up one spot, it's an extra $150,000, isn't it, basically? It's ridiculous, the amount of money up for grabs this week, just from one place. It's basically like, if you move from third to second, it's like winning a tournament, isn't it, basically, in terms of the money?
Yeah, I guess so. That's presuming their motivation is money still at this level.
I think a lot of them are motivated by money at this level. I mean, would you travel to Saudi Arabia like some of them do if you're not motivated by money?
Well, personally, no.
But I think a lot of these players, well, do and would.
Yeah, this must be a slightly odd feeling for guys that are so sort of, you know, got the sportsman's head on, are so sort of elite to start an event knowing full well they can't win it.
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel too sorry for them.
No, I won't lose any sleep, definitely. Should we recap the selections then, Dave?
Yes.
Starting in Italy.
Yeah, so I'll go a point each way on Minwoo Lee at 60-1.
I'm going to go a point each way Matthew Jordan at 66-1, and a point each way Antoine Rosner at 35-1. And your bets in the Tour Championship?
Yeah, so in the sort of main outright market, I'll go 2 points win on John Rahm at 4-1, and a point each way on Justin Thomas at 18-1. And then in the who shoots the best 72-hole score, I'll go a point each way on Sung Jae-in at 30-1.
I'll join you there. That's the tournament winner without the FedEx strokes if you're looking online. I'm going Sung Jae-in a point each way at 30-1, and I'm going to go 1.5 points each way on Rory McIlroy in that market as well at 12-1. Thank you, Dave Tindall.
Thank you, Dave. What happens next? There is a tournament next week, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a good tournament in Europe, I think, isn't there, as well? Is that next week? Must be. Yeah, I'm sure there is.
I just don't know what it is.
Week to week viewer of the yeah kind of guy. The schedule next week is it's the big event next week. It's the BMW Championship.
Oh, Wentworth.
Wentworth. Right. Yeah, it's what? I thought it was. I just had to double check. Yeah, Wentworth next week. So that's obviously a big one. And I think, is it a week off in the States before their season starts? Is it just the 1 week off week before their season starts?
Yeah, it might be. Let me just look. It's the... Yeah, the next one up is the Fortinet Championship.
Yes.
Which is the one played at Silverado Resort and Spa at Napa.
And what week is that? Is that the
Segway,
week?
Didn't it? So that's September the 16th to 19th. We do have a week off then.
Yeah, so it's just the BMW, which is nice as well for the European Tour, yeah. Isn't it, I suppose, as well?
Yeah, and then on the 24th to the 26th, it's the Ryder Cup.
It is, and we're looking forward to that. I'm just intrigued by how it's all going to unfold in terms of the American and the Americans and their team room, really.
Yeah, I've started to do a little bit of research. I was looking at wild card picks. I mean, there's six of them, isn't there, this time?
Yeah.
Steve Stricker. Jim Furyk's wild cards at Le Golf National were Tiger, Mickelson, DeChambeau and Finau. Tiger scored no points. Mickelson scored no points. DeChambeau scored no points. And Finau scored two. And the four Europeans, do you remember all the kerfuffle that they were all sort of deemed as ancient old men? They were Poulter, Garcia, Stenson and Casey, three of them in their 40s. The other one 38. They combined for 9.5 points.
Wow. Well, we're going to get a similar... I think we're going to get a similar thing this time around, but they're going to be another 3 years older, aren't they? Because Garcia's going to get a pick, isn't he? Without... You'd imagine... I think Harrington wants him to come play in Europe, but Garcia's steadfast in his idea not to come over and play in Europe before the picks are made. That's what I've read anyway somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Sergio, it's a Ryder Cup in America, so
yeah,
you know, he'd be better off there. I also think that's going to help Justin Rose's cause that it's in America.
Yeah, I think that the I've not looked too deeply into this, but the American picks are almost straightforward, barring the last one, aren't they? And then it becomes a question of who you go for and whether you go with Scotty Scheffler and or Sam Burns or Kevin Kisner. And I've not looked at the European standings in terms of who's likely to get the picks from Podrick.
Yeah, I mean, there was a feeling a while back that it might go the way of Robert McIntyre, but I think he's kind of ran out of gas, hasn't he? Lost his way a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the way Europe are going to win this is by the sort of team spirit. So I think that gives Rose an obvious sort of leg up in terms of getting a pick. Plus, he's had some decent form in the majors this year in big events.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Don't forget, you can follow us both on Twitter, at D. Kellner and at Dave Tindall Golf. And you can check out all the betting for this week at williamhill.com and on the app. Do note that Tour Championship, two separate markets. You've got the tournament winner without the FedEx strokes, which is the lowest 72-hole total, and the Tour Championship tournament winner, including the FedEx strokes, which is basically that staggered handicap start in which John Rahm and Patrick Cantlay are 4-1 joint favourites. Do check out all the betting for this week at williamhill.com and on the app. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week if you're having a bet on the golf this week with William Hill. The very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.